This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me. It's at NELL_BTP. You know what the music means. It's the YIC, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. Former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson got the chance to sit down with him yesterday for about an hour. We touched on everything related to this Washington Commanders offseason. We will play you part two of that conversation coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll also hear from our guy Bijan Todd on the Wizards as they enter the All-Star break. A big question on the Wizards is this. Jordan Poole, two 40-point performances in his last four games. What's the likelihood that Bub Carrington and Jordan Poole are the backcourt of the future for the Washington Wizards? We'll discuss that coming up. In the 9 o'clock hour, we'll take a spin around the NFL as well. Dak Prescott with some ludicrous comments about the future of the Dallas Cowboys. And speaking of the Cowboys, Micah Parsons with a call to action for the Cowboys front office. I'll read that for you a little bit later on as well. But right now, we'll go back out to the phones. 1-800-636-1067. The Washington Commanders clearly have a need at wide receiver. Ben Solak of ESPN projects Washington to be that team that ends up with Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins. And we all know T. Higgins looking to command north of $30 million per. The question is this. One, would you be in on T. Higgins at that price? And then two, if you're not, how should Washington ultimately address the wide receiver spot? I just put out a poll on my social media page. It's at NELL_BTP on Twitter. The poll says this. How should the Commanders address wide receiver? Option one, pay T. Higgins $30-plus million per year. Option two, pay Bucks wide receiver Chris Godwin $23 million per. Option three, a flyer deal on hometown star Stephon Diggs. And then option four is the combination of Darius Slayton and Cooper Kupp slash other. Now, obviously, I left it up for interpretation when we talk about other. But I think, and the votes are continuing to pile in here. We're at 60 votes right now. We'll get you up to speed on that as we get north of 100. But the more and more I say it to myself and talk about it, I'm a nut, first of all. I'm an absolute psychopath in this stuff. I'm an addict for the Washington Commanders. I'm wearing the patch right now. I go to meetings every Tuesday and Thursday because I'm addicted to the group. I am. It's what got me through my childhood. It's why I'm sitting in this chair. But the more and more I toss and turn and think about this stuff because it consumes my mind, the more and more I become inclined to go, would the combination of two lesser wide receivers be more financially responsible and pay better dividends than going out and throwing a bunch of money at T. Higgins? I used the analogy earlier. You want Frosted Flakes or you want sweetened corn flakes, the bootleg version? And if some of y'all was raised how I was raised, you know about that. You know about the fake Cinnamon Toast Squares. You know about it all. Mountain Star or Mountain Lightning, whatever the hell the fake Mountain Dew was called. That's the question here. Is Adam Peters and company going to be skinny when it comes to spending? Or are they going to let it all hang out? Is it Neiman Marcus or is it fashion over men's? Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end, I asked him how he would address the wide receiver position this offseason. He had this to say. If you were Washington, what is your mentality trying to address wideout this offseason?
Yeah, I agree with you, I think. I think when you have a quarterback like Jaden Daniels and he did what he did this year, I think the number one thing is to kind of help insulate some of his weaknesses. And so, to me, I think he did a great job of maximizing the receiving group. And I think those guys did an excellent job, like OZ, Noah Brown, De'Ami Brown, you know, Jamison Crowder. Everyone kind of took turns stepping up in that role. And I think it shows you that if you get the right people in here, competitive, hardworking professionals, like you can make it work with a guy like Jaden Daniels and plus having Terry. I think the one thing that I'm a little bit worried about is, again, Zach Ertz had an historic season, in my opinion, and we saw what makes him so special, and we saw why he's going to be a Hall of Fame player. But I'm worried about his dip in production. You know, he's 34 years old. Like, to me, that's more of a concern, is like, who's going to pick up that production if Zach is less than 100% or suffers an injury, right? That was such a big piece of the offense on third down, red zone situations, having that person that can win consistently versus man-to-man coverage. And I talked to Santana Moss about this, and he was like, it could be a tight end or it could be a receiver, but I do think you need to find somebody, again, who is a go-to target in those man-to-man situations. And so that's something I'm going to keep an eye on, again, free agency and the draft, to kind of get this football team better.
Logan Paulson, ladies and gentlemen, giving you his thoughts on how Washington should address the wide receiver spot. I think he brought up a really interesting point. Zach Ertz ain't going to play forever. Now, I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I would bet decent amount of change that Ertz is back next year. But that doesn't mean you rely on him as heavily as you did this past year. And I love the idea of what Logan talked about. We keep talking about a number two wide receiver. What they need is somebody opposite of Terry McLaurin, by hook or by crook, that can consistently beat man-to-man coverage. Whether that's a tight end, probably not, or a wide receiver, which I think it could be, that's what you really need. And T. Higgins ain't the only guy in America that can beat man-to-man coverage, right? That's why I brought up a Chris Godwin. Cooper Kupp becomes really interesting to me because if L.A. is willing to eat a chunk of his salary, he is the perfect slot wide receiver for this Cliff Kingsbury offense. Blocks his face off in the running game. Dog-ass competitor. Like, that to me is the type of guy that I would bring in. Ray is in Clinton once. Tap it. What's up, Ray?
What's up, man? How y'all doing? How you doing tonight, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Me, if it's my money, I'm going to get Darius Slayton.
Okay.
That's for free agency. And the other position, what I do, I'm going to draft a wide receiver like in the third or fourth round, because you have a whole lot of them up in here. And the person that I would draft, he'll probably be there like the fourth round. The guy, Troy Horton, from out of Colorado State.
Ah, that's interesting.
The boy's 6'3". He won a 4'4". He can get off the line. He can win one-on-ones. And he got a good catch radius up in the air. You know, he got good hands, you know. He probably got to learn how to block a little bit when it comes to the screens and everything. But, you know, that come with being a pro.
For sure.
But that's how I spend my money. But I spend my money in them trenches. And I spend my money in the trenches because me, myself, when I was growing up, this is how I was thinking. You spend your money on defense. That's where all – defense wins games. I mean, wins championships. Offense wins games. Defense wins championships. I spend my money on defense. I draft my offense, but right now, since everybody's a free agent, I get Darius Slay that can help Terry. And if you get that boy Troy Horton from Colorado State, that's somebody that Terry can bring up. Like when Terry turned 34, this kid will probably be like 25. So he gonna be young, and he could probably be
somebody that they can mentor
Terry McLaurin as he get older.
Somebody that they can mentor, right? I'm all on board with that, and I appreciate the call. The only thing This is where the draft gets interesting. Phil Yates, we talked about it yesterday. Phil Yates of ESPN mocked Emeka Egbuka to Washington at number 29. Emeka Egbuka is not going to be there at 29. Let's just be real about it. I don't see him being there at 29. If he is there at 29, though, I think long and hard about pulling the trigger. But there's, and now we're getting into draft talk here a little bit. There's a couple of guys that if they fall to 29, I'm sticking and picking. But as we get closer to this and we really identify the needs of this football team, I'm beginning to think more and more that maybe, just maybe, you trade back from 29 and you get as many throws at the dartboard as possible. That's just my rule of thought. 1-800-636-1067. Mike P. out in Maryland. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Linnell, man? First time calling ever into a show to talk about football.
Wow. Well, right. I appreciate you choosing overtime, brother.
I always listen to the station, and I love your show. But I told your producer, I'm not shopping at Neiman's. I'm not shopping at Fashion Nova. But a Macy's clearance rack is where I'll be.
I feel that. Look, I done right. Got fly off a Macy's clearance rack, Mike P. You better ask somebody.
Absolutely. And I think our fan base is suffering from fast success delusion.
Oh.
They want to make these big splashes. They want to go and spend $30 million on T. Higgins. They want to trade the first-round pick for Myles Garrett. Give me Cooper, right?
Mm-hmm. Come on, Cooper.
Give me
Cup,
Khalil
right?
Mack or Sweat. Then first round, let's keep building the defense up because Jaden can handle the offense because we kind of stood toe-to-toe with Philly and that incredible defensive line when we played them three times.
Yeah.
Right? Give me Khalil Mack. First round, let's draft Mike Green out of Marshall. Now we got two killers off the edge, same kind of build. He can learn from Khalil Mack, and we can keep building through the draft instead of trying to get everybody else from all these other teams that eventually in a few years we're going to be back in the same situation.
Yeah, I hear that.
That's just my take.
I hear that. So let me ask you this, Mike, because I think you brought up something real interesting. The one thing that I do think the fans suffer from is, like you said, I think the success happened so quickly. You don't think, mm-hmm. though, that the Adam Peters and company tipped their hand a little bit at the trade deadline in terms of showing you how aggressive they would be? They identified a need at corner and said, give me Marshawn Lattimore. I think they're going to have the same aggressive mentality, but as I said earlier, Mike, aggression comes in all shapes and sizes. Doesn't mean throwing 30 at one guy. It could be a litany of different dudes.
You could throw 30 at two guys.
Maybe it's that, or three guys. Because, look, they only got two dudes under contract. It's only McLaurin and Luke McCaffrey, so.
Absolutely. And then if we go spend on T. Higgins, now we got to lack somewhere else because we don't have the money to do what we need to do elsewhere.
It's not responsible spending, Mike. I appreciate the call as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067. Saeed is in Upper Marlboro. What's going on, brother?
Hey, how's it going, Linnell?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good. So I'm out on T. Higgins unless that's honestly our only option. If everybody else is re-signing everywhere, I'd rather that money, if it's going to go anywhere, it's going to go to Myles Garrett. I'm more into kind of a little bit what you hinted at, which is go more like Cooper Kupp. Because honestly, I'm not trying to be after school special, but being a commander is also being that Terry type receiver that is not going to complain every time the ball doesn't come their way.
Sure.
And if we had a Cooper Kupp, he's a team player. I've never heard any complaint about him complaining about anything. And you know what? All it takes is Terry McLaurin to get some high ankle sprain, and then we're going to look at all these twos and threes that we got and say it's not cutting it.
Ooh, yeah.
Knowing that Cooper Kupp can step in and be that guy, I think I would be there, but my question, and I'll hang up and listen to your answer about this, two things. One, is Noah Brown not playing football anymore? Because I'd love for him to be our three or four.
No, I think they're going to end up ultimately finding a way to bring him back, man. He blocked his ass.
If he's
off
our
last
three
time.
Or four,
yeah.
I think we're looking good. But then the question I have for you is, they said that Terry McLaurin, statistically speaking, leads the NFL in most catches. What's the word?
Most catches against single coverage. Most touchdowns against man-to-man coverage. Contested catches.
Yeah, contested catches. Yes. So my question for you is, I'm trying to look at it either glass full or glass empty. Does that mean he doesn't get separation,
okay,
and I should look at that as a problem? Or does that mean, you know, he doesn't need separation, he's going to go up and get that ball, he's a dog, we shouldn't care about that? Because I am a little bit worried that we don't have wide receivers that create consistent separation. I would like to make it a little bit easier on Jaden to get the ball out there. I'll hang up and just listen to what you guys
say. I think you made a hell of a point, Saeed. And that question you asked there at the tail end of the call is what a lot of us here have been going back and forth with, right? Last year, look, and this is why I'm so boisterous about Terry this time around. You remember the conversation this time last year, y'all? And the summer is really when it got hot and heavy. We were so damn ignorant as a fan base last offseason. We were questioning whether or not Terry was the number one wide receiver or not. I think the PFF rankings really got the conversation stirred up. They ranked Terry as the 17th best wide receiver this past summer. Kiss my ass. Ain't no way. Ain't no way on God's green earth are there 16 wide receivers better than him. So I think the point that the last caller is making is like, you need someone opposite of him that can create separation. I don't think he's got a problem creating Seppi. I don't think that's his issue. I think the other receivers in this receiver room did have that problem. And that was the reason why teams were able to, you know, put so much attention towards Terry. And that's the whole thought process here in adding someone opposite of him. That number two wide receiver that comes here to Washington is going to consistently get man-to-man coverage. Can you beat it? That's the question. 1-800-636-1067. The Washington Commanders obviously got to bring in someone at the wide receiver spot. Ben Solak of ESPN projects T. Higgins to Washington on a deal worth $33 million per. Is that how you would address the wide receiver position? And if not, how would you go about doing it? Put your GM hat on. 1-800-636-1067. Is this Zadman in Alexandria? What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing, Holmes?
The Sandman, man.
Ah, I got you. The Sandman. What's going on, brother? Right, look, we got a new producer.
We got a new producer here tonight.
I don't think he knew your name.
Yeah, I think you got a little messed up. That's all right, though. But look here, this is what I do. I put up a package and I say, this is what I'm going to give up to try to get a mile, right? And if that package works, I get Miles Garrett. And then I go talk to the Jets because I'm trying to get Devontae Adams on that other side. What do you think about that? I'm going to hang up and let you go with that.
No, I appreciate you, brother. Devontae Adams is interesting because, and this is going to maybe fall upon deaf ears if y'all not picking up what I'm putting down. I don't think culturally he's a fit. I don't think culturally Devontae Adams is a guy that Washington should bring in. Does he look motivated to block people? Does he look motivated to do anything other than complain and underachieve? I mean, seriously, you can send Devontae Adams' ass wherever Aaron is going. I'm through with both of them. Now, Devontae Adams would look great in burgundy and gold. If we're just talking about from a pure talent perspective, and we're not talking about any of the ancillary stuff that you got to consider when bringing in a guy, sure, give me Tay Adams all day long. But in reality, man, I don't know if Devontae is a guy that I'm writing home about here. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at @NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, as promised, the most highly anticipated power ranking segment at all of Sports Talk Radio. It's Nell Super Six Pack coming your way next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
+1 800 636 1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor listening lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's a Thursday night edition of Overtime right here on The Fan. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock. We're just watching it in studio with the fellas, Ben and Chris. Maryland women's basketball, belt to arse. They're at home, get beat down by Nebraska. Second half of the Big Ten doubleheader coming up from Wisconsin. Derek Queen and the men's Maryland basketball team in action. The fellas come into this week ranked 25th in the country. Big win Sunday against Rutgers. If you heard us at the top of the show, 29 points, 15 rebounds, and 5 assists for DQ against Rutgers at home on Sunday. Can he continue the stellar play moving ahead here? Yeah, first time that's happened in 20 years. Manny Harris, the last player to put up those type of numbers in Big Ten action. But we'll keep you up to speed with everything between Maryland and Nebraska as that one tips off here momentarily. You can hear that over on our sister station, the Team 980. You know, you can listen to both via the Odyssey app. That's what's beautiful about the old Odyssey app. Speaking of the old Odyssey app, I mentioned this, or I should have mentioned this yesterday. the contest that's going on via the old Odyssey app. We'll plug that officially a little bit later on because I'm irresponsible and can't find the read. But now, I mean, I feel like I have to pay off the tees. You all have been writing me angry letters. You've been sending me hate mail. Where's Nell's Super Six Pack? Where's Nell's Super Six Pack? Well, here it is.
Nell's Super Six Pack. Three, two, one.
Nell's Super Six Pack. My top six wide receiver targets for the Washington Commanders via free agency. I almost just had a heart attack. Number six, the Nell's Super Six Pack. My top six free agent targets for the Washington Commanders. I mentioned him in the Twitter poll. Stephon Diggs. Former Houston Texan, former Buffalo Bill, former Minnesota Viking, had his season cut short due to an ACL tear in late October. He's going to command some money on the open market. SpotTrack has his projected AAV at $13.5 million. SpotTrack is wrong on this one. I don't think there's any chance in hell that he just gets $13.5 million. I think Stephon Diggs, a wide receiver of his caliber, even with the injury, is somewhere in that $17 million range per year. He would be, you know, number six in my targets for Washington. I think, one, it's a guy that comes home. I'm always down for the hometown hero story. And then, two, the Commanders are looking for dog competitors. And say what you want about Stephon Diggs and whatever antics you feel he has, from a dog competitor standpoint, doesn't get much better than Stephon Diggs. He comes in at number six. Number five in Nell's Super Six Pack, my top six wide receiver targets for the Commanders. Number five is Chris Godwin of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Godwin, you know, also like Diggs, coming off of an injury that he suffered early in the season last year for Tampa. Here's the thing about Chris Godwin. The same reason I'm out on T. Higgins is the reason that Chris Godwin is number five on this list. The production when he's healthy is really hard to argue with. That's just the big issue with Chris Godwin, is his inability to stay healthy. This past year, just seven games played for Chris Godwin. He played every game in 2023, missed just two games in 2022, missed three games in 21, so health has been a little bit of an issue for him. Our friends at SpotTrack project his next deal from an AAV standpoint to be around $22.5 million. SpotTrack has hits and misses when it comes to this stuff. There's just no way, when you consider the injury history of Chris Godwin, that I'm going to pay him $22 million annually. I think he's in the same category as Stephon Diggs, in that $17 to $19 million per year range. And I think right now, Chris Godwin, to me, if it wasn't for the injury, may be number one on my list. Age, he's only 28, really good out of the slot, blocks, competes. The injury history scares me away from him. Number four in Nell's Super Six Pack, my top four free agent wide receiver targets for the Washington Commanders. Number four is an old division rival, Brandon Cooks of the Dallas Cowboys, somebody I would definitely be interested in. SpotTrack has him projected at $5 million annually. Doubt his number's that low. Look at Brandon Cooks to demand somewhere from $10 to $12 million per. The production for Brandon Cooks over the past couple of years hadn't been very good because of the injuries. The other thing about Cooks that I really like, though, he represents the deep threat that I think Washington needs in this offense. As good as Terry McLaurin is taking the top off, ideally you want someone else to do that and draw coverage away from him. Just 10 games played this past year for Brandon Cooks. He missed two games in 2023, and then in 2022 he missed five games. So he's had, what was it, four straight years as a 1,000-yard receiver. With New Orleans, New England, and then the L.A. Rams. He went to Houston, gave you back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, and the injury bug hit him. The reason I'm interested in Cooks, I think you can get him on the cheap, and then he takes the top off of defenses, man. Brandon Cooks comes in at number four. Number three for me is Amari Cooper. I would be all over Amari Cooper. SpotTrack has his projected AAV in free agency at around $14.5 million. I think that's about right. Maybe I put him in that category of that $17 to $19 million with Diggs and Chris Godwin, but Amari Cooper, sure-handed guy. The reason I really love Coop and why he's down at number three on this list, somebody opposite of Terry's got to be able to consistently beat man-to-man coverage. Amari Cooper argued with somebody you love, not me. He's one of the best route runners in the National Football League. I don't think it's very close. He comes in and fills a need right away. The only issue with Amari Cooper is health. And I know I sound like a broken record here talking about these free agent wideouts, but think about it. Wideouts don't hit free agency. Good players don't hit free agency unless there's something wrong with them. And for Amari Cooper, what's been wrong with him is he can't stay on the damn field. This past year, he played in just 14 games. 2023, he missed two games. So I don't know here with Amari Cooper. The one thing that I love about Coop, though, he's got size at the position as well. 6'2", 200 pounds, gives you a different physical profile at that position. Number two, in terms of free agent target wide receivers I bring in, is Darius Slayton from the New York Giants, another guy within the division. And people point at Darius Slayton, and there's not a whole lot of production to go along with him. But I think at 6'1", 200 pounds, he can take the top off of defenses. He's a sure-handed guy. SpotTrack has him commanding $16 million annually. I don't know if he gets up that high. I'm thinking somewhere from 10 to 12. But he's definitely a wide receiver I would be interested in bringing here to Washington. I want to update you all on the poll before we get you to number one on Nell's Super Six Pack, my top six free agent wide receiver targets. The poll currently, wow, you all aren't voting quick enough. Only 159 votes. But the leading vote getter in how the Commanders should address wide receiver is the last of the options that I put. It's the combination of Darius Slayton and our number one wide receiver in Nell's Super Six Pack slash other. When I say slash other, I'm obviously talking about the NFL draft. Field Yates, we mentioned yesterday, mocked Emeka Egbuka to Washington at pick number 29. 44% of the votes on Darius Slayton. I had someone tweet at me earlier and say, LOL Darius Slayton. Yeah, LOL Darius Slayton. The kid can play. And he is the type of bargain bin, fashion over men's, fly but on a budget type of wide receiver that I'm all in for. That's the leading vote getter with 45% of the votes. 24% of the votes is pay Chris Godwin $23 million annually. That interests me because of the injury history, but Chris Godwin, obviously a household name. Third option, at receiving 19% of the votes, is pay T. Higgins $30 million per. I thought you all were smarter than that. The least voted for thing, the least voted for option that you all want is Stephon Diggs. And I can't say I'm surprised at that. I don't know how I'd feel about Stephon Diggs because I don't think he's a character culture fit, but I think he competes. And I think that's what they look for first. Are you going to be a competitor? He is Marshawn Lattimore at wide receiver. It's the best way that I would put it. Number one in Nell's Super Six Pack, top free agent wide receiver targets. Technically, he's not a free agent, but it's Cooper Kupp. If the Rams are going to be willing to eat some of his salary, and I think his cap hit for next year is $19 million, well, it's $19 million base, and then I think there's a bonus as well. If they're willing to eat a majority of that salary, I would be all for Cooper Kupp. I think he is a commander wide receiver. Tough, physical at the point of attack. We know he can beat man-to-man coverage with the best of them. My concern about Cooper Kupp, broken record time, is the concern I have about every other wide receiver Washington will want to bring in. Can they stay healthy? And I sound like Chris Russell when I'm saying this, so I got to stop this immediately. Football is the most violent sport in the world. Guys are going to get hurt. I understand that. I'm not saying shy away from guys with an injury history. I'm just saying you got to be measured and calculated when it comes to taking that type of risk. That's Nell's Super Six Pack, my top six free agent wide receiver targets that I'd like the Commanders to go after. We will take a quick timeout when we come back. Part two of my sit down with former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson. That's next. Terps basketball, get ready to come your way over on our sister station, the Team 980, as they look to make it two in a row after the big win Sunday against Rutgers. 25th-ranked Terps playing good ball, man, as they get geared up for the NCAA tournament. I'll be honest, we don't talk, I do at least, but traditionally we don't talk a whole lot of Terps basketball here on 106.7 The Fan. I have a feeling that is going to change coming up this March. Derek Queen, one of the best freshmen right now in college basketball. There were a ton of scouts in attendance Sunday when they took on Rutgers. It is rare that we get talent like him coming through the area, but I think their ability to acquire a talent like Derek Queen hopefully sends a message to the rest of the DMV. Stay your ass home, right? St. Francis is on. Baltimore is on. Stay home. You hear that, Cam Ward? Stay home. I'm angry at Cam Ward, clearly. I'm not talking about that Cam Ward either. I'm talking about Cam Ward, Largo High School, committed to Michigan State. Should be a Terp, but he's not a Terp.
It's tough. I think over the years we've seen a lot of players
happens
who...
consistently.
I think the bottom line with it, though, is a lot of players don't want to play at home. And that's a big problem with this whole thing. I know that's a little bit different in basketball.
I just don't think they got the cheese. That's how I look at it.
That's the new thing situation, especially on the football gridiron. That's become a huge problem.
Yeah.
But basketball, you know, there's distractions in the area. And I understand people who don't want to play at Maryland because they're worried about how their career will turn if they're distracted by people within this area. But
dude, you
so much talent, though.
You go to UMD.
I know.
I've been to Terp games. That environment, when they're good, they may not. It's a top five arena in college basketball.
When I called the Wisconsin game 2 weeks ago, the crowd mic was so loud on this one Rodney Rice three that he hit in the second half. I have a clip of me calling it. It's like the loudest crowd pop I've ever heard in that building. It's absurd. I mean, the team is rolling right now. There's actually a buzz on campus about that. There's never been a buzz about anything. Lacrosse team won a national championship. Nobody cared. Baseball team made the regional 2 years in a row. That had a little bit of character surrounding it within the campus. Football team, people don't care either way. Yeah. It's, you know, people know.
They can't sell out. Thank you.
Saturday game day, that means we get to drink.
Yeah, but
they don't actually care if the team wins or loses.
The atmosphere at Siku, is that what it's called, right?
Siku Stadium.
The atmosphere inside may not be that damn good, but outside in the lots, holy cannoli. You want to talk about nines and tens all across the lot. I'll bring it back here for a second.
I think you've been spending too much time over there.
I spent a lot of time over there. I know about that lot.
I never saw you out in those lots.
Well, you may have seen me in my disguise, man. Sometimes I mask up on game days. I'm kidding, obviously. But Terps basketball, did they already tip off? You can hear it over on our sister station, the Team 980. You can keep it locked on us. You can flip back and forth, whatever you choose to do. Right now, though, part two of my conversation with former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson. Welcome back. It is overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. The youngest in charge, Donnell Willingham, will take you up to 10 o'clock tonight. Right now, as promised, we will get an in-depth look at the Washington Commanders' upcoming offseason, one that I continue to dub the most important offseason of this rebuild, striking while the iron is hot, taking advantage of the resources that you have. No better person to join me to talk about this all-important Commanders offseason than former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson. He is also the co-host of the Take Command podcast with our pal Craig Hoffman. You can download that wherever you get your podcast. Logan, appreciate you giving us some time, big fella.
Yeah, no, as always, appreciate you having me on.
Yes, indeed, man. So I am in a weird spot. You know, I always try to separate fan and then work when I do this stuff. Obviously, lifelong fan of this team. They control my day-to-day emotions when they probably shouldn't. But I'm, you know, obviously excited about what we have to look forward to. There's a lot of rumors that will circulate throughout this offseason, especially when you consider where Washington is, fresh off of an NFC championship berth, third most cap space in the National Football League as you get ready to enter free agency. But I want to start, Logan, with this offseason, looking at some of the homegrown guys. There's about 20-something free agents that Washington is going to have to make decisions on. When you look at some of the key impact players, your Jeremy Chins, your Zach Ertz, your Bobby Wagner, who do you think is the priority guy that Washington should be really itching to bring back?
Yeah, I mean, and obviously, like, I'm going to defer to Adam Peters and the decision he makes, but just based on what I've seen this season, I'm going to say probably Jeremy Chin strikes me as a guy because of his age, because of his role in the defense, because of how they utilized him, a guy that really, I think, does a lot for you, you know, and it's a piece you can kind of build around. Like, Zach had a tremendous year, but again, he's 34 years old, and, you know, like, I think he should be back and deserves to be back, but I think you have to plan around him, you know, like, long-term, what's this going to look like? Same thing with Bobby. I know McGee's still on the roster, and they're excited about his development, but I think you need to start, if you do bring those guys, start having contingency plans for those older players. While with Jeremy Chin, I do think he can be, you know, a guy that's here for 3 years, a guy that's here for the length of Jaden's rookie contract. And I think that that's valuable. And so the youth coupled with the play, I think I probably prioritize trying to get him back as a Commander here.
Yeah, Jeremy Chin is interesting, Logan, because I think he's right on the fringe. I wouldn't call him a top five safety, but I also think he is one of the better guys in this league at his position. And then when you factor in the youth and the production that he had for this defense, I think it becomes a no-brainer. I wouldn't get into a bidding war for Jeremy Chin. We know the safety market's kind of been saturated in free agency over the past couple of years, but you kind of brought up an interesting point, something that me and you have actually texted about. I have, you know, I appreciate everything that Bobby Wagner has brought to this defense from a you know, leadership standpoint. I think Jaden told a really cool story out at Radio Row about how after a game there in the cold tub at 2 o'clock in the morning at the facility after getting back from a road game. So it kind of shows you, you know, his leadership ability, but he played 98% of the snaps last year, Logan. When you watch him on film in the run game in particular, what do you see and how much did he, you know, aid Washington's struggles, I guess, in the run game?
Yeah, so I think that's a really tough question to answer. And I think Bobby, you know, I think he did a lot of really good things this year. I think the leadership element's huge. I think when you watch his ability to make plays at and around the line of scrimmage, that's huge too. I think his mastery and ability to check and kind of communicate defensive perspective is also incredibly important. But there are times like where you're kind of like, is this the right fit or is he in the gap he's supposed to be in now? I will say, like, defense is incredibly complicated. It's so reactive and it's so fluid, and that makes it really hard to diagnose exactly what people should be doing. I'm, you know, talking with a couple of former defensive coaches that I know to kind of get a better understanding of run fits, you know, ways that the Commanders could use different personnel to kind of maximize or how they're calling the defense from this outside, from these third party perspectives. So I'm learning a little bit more about run fits, and it's becoming a little bit more challenging to be critical of linebacker play, of nickel play, because I know that it is very challenging to do that. But I would say there were times where over the course of the season, I thought, oh man, is this the right fit for Bobby? Is this where he's supposed to be? But again, a lot of these two high safety structures, a lot of these quarters looks, linebackers have to play a gap and a half or a two
which
gap look.
Super tough. You know, yeah.
Which is incredibly tough. So I think that given what he's done, given the age, given, you know, kind of where he's at from a health standpoint, I think he did as good as you could have expected. But I do think, you know, you got to think long term when you talk to people around the NFL. One of the things they bring up is they say, hey, you know, like, he's not the person he was before. And that's a reasonable expectation considering he's 34 years old. So that's kind of what I'm alluding to there. I think he's a guy that you need to find you need to have a plan for him not being around long term, find a way to get a little bit younger, find a way to get a little bit more athletic. I don't think you have to look farther than like Zach Bond, for example, and the impact that he had from a coverage standpoint when he was in Philadelphia. And so I think those are some of the things you look at with Bobby. Again, incredibly grateful to him, incredibly impressed with his leadership, incredibly impressed with his career. But, you know, older players, like, you need to think about plans moving forward. And that's kind of what I'm saying with Bobby there.
Yeah, I think you mentioned Jeremy Chin as your priority, Logan. Bobby would be my priority because he played 98% of the snaps. And I don't know if you know this, like, who wears the green dot if it's not Bobby Wagner? Like, who else knows and has a mastery of this defense? So that's my other question mark with that. I think you bring up a good point in terms of sort of phasing him out. And it's not a negative thing in terms of phasing him out. It's just about, you know, ultimately for me, getting more speed on the field. But we'll see how they ultimately end up handling that. The defensive side of the football is interesting, Logan. Like, that, if you poll most folks, you know, locally, nationally, about the Achilles heel of this football team. They would talk about the Commanders' defense, the run defense in particular. Is it a quick fix, Logan, to you, or is it something where you need a couple of different ancillary pieces to help you here? Obviously, I've been screaming it since August that they didn't have a guy to me that was a three-down defensive end that could set the edge and give you the pass rush juice. I was a big fan of Javonte Jean-Baptiste before he went down. I think he's someone that they'll count on next year. But when you look at the struggles of this defense, how do you go about shoring it up?
Yeah, I think, well, when I look at the defensive struggles, I think a lot of it, to me, is just guys not always doing what they're supposed to do. And I do think there's an element of Joe Witt Jr. kind of allowing that. I think when you look at, just as an example, Dante Fowler had a tremendous year, you know, very productive from a pass rush standpoint. Found a lot of explosive plays behind the line of scrimmage in terms of tackle for loss. And sometimes he's rolling the dice a little bit. He's kind of taking a gamble. He's like leaving the gap he's supposed to be in. And those, honestly, those negative run plays are extremely valuable to defense. So I don't want to diminish that, but there are times where he's not playing exactly the right technique and he kind of puts the defense under a little bit of stress. Everybody kind of took turns over the course of the year doing that, and you get explosive plays from Sheldon Day, but you get him kind of throwing out the club on a double team in the next series, right? And that's when you watch defense around the NFL, that's something that's very, very common. But I think, honestly, as guys get more familiar, as guys get more confident in the run scheme and a little bit more disciplined, I think you're going to see a better product. And I do think it's important to note that I think this defense played really well. I think, you know, obviously there are some limitations statistically. I think you see some limitations in terms of, you know, how many yards they gave up. But I think they understood how to be opportunistic given the talent that they had. I think they did a great job in third down situations of winning those situations more often than not, battening down the hatches in the red zone, keeping points off the board, really being an offensive driven football team and understanding their role in the team dynamic, I think is very clear. So yes, I think they could add some pieces. Yes, I think they're in year two, they're going to be better because guys have a better understanding for what Joe Witt Jr. is looking for from a run fit standpoint. But yeah, I think obviously, like, if you get a big Haas defensive end that can set edges and rush the passer, that'd be great. But
they don't grow on trees, right?
they don't grow on trees. So you got to kind of make do with what you got. And I think Adam Peters is always going to be looking to get more talented. And I think, you know, specifically along the defensive line.
Logan, from a like philosophical standpoint, and I'm asking you to put your GM hat on here for a second. Looking at, and I guess this is my general rule of thumb whenever you're evaluating free agents at these positions, and then specifically this year with the talent that exists, I continue to feel like, man, if I am Washington, I am going offensive line, defensive line, heavy in the draft, and using wide receiver or using free agency rather to kind of supplement my wide receiver room. And traditionally, Logan, I would not think that way because I feel like wide receivers, we talk about edge rushers and elite defensive ends don't grow on trees. I kind of think wide receivers do. So for that reason, I'm traditionally a draft a wide receiver guy. But in this year's class, when you think about the depth that you have up front on both sides of the football, I know the D-line's getting talked about a lot, but as you continue to watch more tape, I think the offensive linemen in this class are pretty decent too. Would that be kind of the way you go if you're Washington, kind of hitting the draft heavy in the trenches and then going and getting your skill group guys out in free agency?
Yeah, I think I'd probably do a little bit of both. And what I mean by that is, like, before going to the draft, I want to make sure I have all my bases covered. I want to make sure that I could field the 90-man roster that I'm comfortable, or 53-man roster that I'm comfortable with, quite honestly, right? So, like, right now there's a couple guys that are, you know, unsigned to the team. There's 29 free agents currently for the – or guys who are supposed to be pending free agents. I want to re-sign some of those guys to fill in some of the gaps so that when I do go into the draft, I can be more selective about, hey, here's an offensive lineman that I really like. I can draft him, develop him. He can add talent to an offensive line group that overperformed last year. And I feel really good about it, as opposed to saying, oh, man, I really need to kind of make sure I find that nickel cornerback or that outside corner. Like, I can be more specific in the draft process. And I do agree with you. I think that when you look at the defensive line groups in this draft class, very deep, I think the offensive line doesn't have quite the peak that last year had. I mean, just watching through them, You know, I did a podcast called Pick of the Draft Podcast. It's on the Command Center Podcast Network, but you can hear kind of more thoughts on it there. But I do think this O-line class has some talented guys, but they're a little bit more green compared to last year's class. So if you can draft a guy that's very talented, have him sit or be a rotational person for a year, that's going to pay dividends long-term, to your point. And then with receiver, I think it's the same thing every year. Like, this year, it's a down receiver class. Free agent receivers are going to be super expensive because those top flight guys are looking for a lot of money. So those are the kind of decisions that you need to negotiate, I think, here in the free agency. But I think the foundational element of free agency in the draft is make sure you have the roster kind of established through free agency so I can add the more talented pieces in the draft.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, man. I always love, you know, having these conversations with you. You have quickly, like, turned into my go-to guy when it comes to the draft and scouting talent, man. To think, man, the big burly tight end that was rumbling and stumbling down the field knows some ball, man. I always love catching up with you on this stuff as we're joined by former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson. He's also the co-host of the Take Command podcast with our pal Craig Hoffman. You can also check out his stuff with the Command Center on YouTube, doing good work for the team. Logan, this is just, there's so many different things I wanted to cover here with you in this conversation. I want to look at the offensive line here because after watching the Super Bowl, I mean, you've seen a lot of ball in your life. Have you ever seen a front four kick ass the way that Philadelphia's did this past Sunday?
I mean, it's historic. It's an historic performance for a reason. I mean, in Super Bowl history, there's never been a team that hasn't blitzed with the, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it's historically very relevant. And so, no, I have not seen something like that. I've seen shades of that, obviously, when, you know, those old New York Giants offensive lines, when they'd play the Patriots and give them a run for their money. Those were kind of some dominant performances. Obviously, Tampa Bay blitzed a lot more, but the last time they played Kansas City, that was a very dominant performance by the defense. Defensive front, but to get four guys that could physically get after a group the way that Philadelphia did, I thought was extremely impressive. And again, that's the goal. That's the objective in team building, is finding a way to do that defensively. Because think about what that does from a coverage standpoint. It just gives you so much more flexibility. So, yeah, I think you got to look at defensive linemen, like we just talked about. You got to look at offensive linemen. And I think when you're looking at the Commanders' offensive line, like, I think they did a really solid job last year. I think, you know, the way they pass protected, the way they communicated, the way they kind of were tough and gritty. But I think look no further than Philly's offensive line or Buffalo's offensive line. Like, they're composed of some very physically gifted and talented people. And I think that's ultimately what you're looking to do this offseason with the Commanders' offensive line, is just find pieces to kind of infuse that group with talent. And because, again, you have to compete with Philadelphia twice a year being in the same division.
That is Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end. Always love the opportunity to catch up with him. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Terps in Nebraska are underway. We'll get you a score update on that next.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.